How did the fast go? Anybody fall out? Did you sense God's grace in any measure? Did you sense the nearness of God? Was it amplified a little bit in your weakness, anyone? In our household, we on January the 1st, we put our hands to Whole 30. Don't know if you've heard of that, but we're doing Whole 30. And then I look and I thought, well, daggone, we got this fast coming up on the 7th. So then on top of that, the fast, the 7th through the 11th, and I was going to do water only. A lot of times I do liquid only. How many of you know liquid is a relative term? I mean, that's chocolate milk, that's shakes, that's smoothies. Technically, I could put a steak in the blender, but I've never done that. I've never done that, but I've always done, you know, liquids. But this time it was water. And how many of you know that water only will introduce a man to himself? I mean, there's just nothing for your body to grab on. It's looking for something to grab on to. But so we had the Whole 30 and then the fast, then water only. And then on top of that, I got a cold, you know, and then a bad throat. And then that was really painful because I wanted to take ibuprofen. And you can't take ibuprofen unless you got a little food in your stomach, unless you want to eat your stomach lining. So then by the third day, this tempter was coming to me saying, not if you're the Son of God, but if you're a Son of God, turn these stones to steak and eggs. I mean, I was tempted to break it with the logic of I couldn't even talk at our prayer meeting. I barely had a voice, so I have enough today. This is my first day up in Adam, and I am through it. But anyway, there was a lot of temptation there. But by the grace of God, I started thinking of James Montgomery, the Navy SEAL, and they would say, find an excuse to win. You know, and I thought, Friday's not that far. Friday cometh, you know. So anyway, by the grace of God, God helped. And genuinely just really had a precious time of meeting with the Lord. Actually, through that hump on Wednesday, on Thursday, and Friday, and just in our weakness, we find God. And fasting is not works. Everything we do by faith. But it's just saying no to a few things that are normative in our life to cause our spirit to come alive, to spiritual things. Many times little addictions and little idolatries and just baggage that has a hold on us falls off. So I just trust that on whatever level you did it, some people did tech, some people did a meal a day, whatever. So on whatever level you did it, God honors that. No one is looking over anyone's shoulder, just everyone was on their own track. But thanks for just entering in with us on whatever level you did. You know, Jesus, when he came out of the wilderness, out of that 40 days of fasting, remember it says he went into Galilee in the power of the Spirit. So there was power and there was breakthrough on the other side. And so just look for that and anticipate that as you go forward into this new year. So thank you for using some measure of consecration. So as we said last week, let's say it again today, it's going to be a good year. Let's say it again. It's going to be a good year. Amen. You know, Paul said it was written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. And with that same spirit of faith, we also believe, therefore we speak. So it's just a good thing to get up in the morning and say, it's going to be a good year. God is with me. If God is for me, who can be against me? How dare anyone lay any charge against God's elect? And begin to declare the word of God. And as our rudder does that, our ship moves in the direction of our declaration. So today, do you have a Bible? 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, reads this way. And this is, let's just read this out loud together. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Again, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Now, it's a hereafter life for sure, but it is a quality of life right now. This life that's in Christ, and again, it's easy to always push things to a future time, which the future time is going to be great when we get there, but we're not there yet. So there's a lot to be encouraged about in view of the future and in view of heaven. But Jesus died to experience it now. And so this life, this Zoe, this quality of existence is available now. And it's abundant. And Jesus died to give it. So 1 John 5:11, this is actually the text that we used and derived our name from in our church in Guam and Micronesia. From this text, we were called Life in the Son Christian Fellowship. And this was kind of the proof text to our name. It was also a play on the word son, because we were in an island community that we were always under the beating tropical heat. So we were always in the S-U-N. So it was also a play on that word son. But it really spoke of who we were. But again, this was kind of the proof text to our name there. But God has given us life. He has given the believer life. It's a quality of life now. Say now. And I just say that because I just want to kind of engage our faith that this life that's in the Son, it's now. Yes, we're going to be in glory one day, and He's going to wipe every tear from our eye. There are not going to be struggles, challenges. There's not going to be a need to, quote, persevere, as it were. But that abundant life, that is available now. It is eternal, John said. This life is eternal. It's given by God. It's found in Christ. So again, not just for the sweet by and by, but it's for today. It's for 2019. And that's where, again, we're going. And so we want to take life with us. Verse 12 goes on to say, he who has the Son, present tense, if you have him today, you're sitting here today, you're in Christ, Christ is in you. He who has the Son has what? Has life. Anyone in Christ, or the Son of God, dwells within your heart through faith. He who has the Son has life, present tense. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So that infers then someone could be walking around alive, biologically alive, physically, yet not have life in the context of this usage. Yet eternal life is existent and available now, offered to us through Jesus. You've heard me tell the story before. And you know, it's an interesting thing when people look at the unredeemed or even look at the wicked, and the psalmist says, don't envy the wicked when you see them prospering along the way. It's a skewed view. You think, well, gosh, they're not in the covenant. They're not serving the Lord. There's some things that are working for them. And it's a skewed perspective. But you've heard me tell the story before of the evangelist that was on the street corner with a coffin and just declaring as people were walking by, he would say, come look at the dead man. Hey, everybody, come. Had a coffin set up. Come look at the dead man. And people are like, what is his deal? And so the people would kind of look and they would peer over into the coffin, and there was a full-length mirror inside the coffin, and they'd see themselves. And he'd say, did you know that you're dead and your transgressions and sins? And he would, you know, use that as an evangelistic creative way, you know, to preach to them. It's kind of funny, but it was good. And even though they're alive, and even though biologically they're living, they're breathing, they're walking, yet spiritually the Bible says they're dead. You know, they're dead spiritually. They've not yet tasted this life, again, unless they're in Christ. And so we were all dead in our transgressions and sins, according to Ephesians 2:1. So walking around, yes, living and breathing, yes, not though experiencing life, that touch of God, that wonderful breath of God, that resurrection life, that quality of existence, that abundance that God gives through a son. It's all in him. Jesus clearly explained and had to remind and quicken Martha and Mary and the surrounding onlooking Jews at the death of Lazarus, where, again, you know, God is outside of time and just nothing is impossible to him, and them thinking that it's all over. And Jesus had to say, no, no, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, I know I'll see our brother in the resurrection. No, I'm it. I am life. What do you need? What do you need, church? What do you need? And whatever areas make up our lives practically, what do you need? I'm that. I'm resurrection. I'm hope. I'm favor. I'm encouragement. I'm courage. I'll never tell you just roll over and be done with. I'll never tell you it just looks too dark. I'll never say, yeah, it's kind of bleak. I'll never give you that word. All my promises are yes and amen. I'll always give you life. I will always give you hope. I will always give you strength. I will always give you encouragement. So he reminded them, I am the resurrection and the life. It's in me. All things are possible with me, and all things are possible to him who believes. And so whatever Jesus gets around, he brings this essence, this quality, this taste of heaven. He brings it with him. He would declare when he preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is among you. Oh, really? Where is it? Right here. And now that he's within us, wherever we go and our feet take us, the kingdom goes with us. When you go into the workplace on Monday morning, you may be the only believer there, but you know the kingdom goes in with you. It takes one linchpin to change an atmosphere. It takes one seed of righteousness to bring light into oppression or to darkness or to cut cynicism or to cut negativity or to cut just whatever is happening. You see, just one, the kingdom goes within. Jesus said the kingdom is within. It's within this life, this essence, you see. Wherever he gets around, he brings life. And in that life is joy, there's power, celebration, there's victory with rejoicing. And again, that's not denying the tough spots, but yet there's always breakthrough in Christ, for he always leads us in his triumphs through Christ Jesus. Now, that's not a theology of triumphalism, but we also don't want to just degrade ourselves and just beat ourselves and say, well, I'm just trying to be pious and get into asceticism to just try to be a worm. And so there are sticking points and tough spots, but there's victory and life in the Son. And that life is healing. There's wholeness, there's deliverance, there's strength, there's courage. It's the quality of heaven. It's the life God gives through Christ. Peter told the household of Cornelius in Acts 10:37. He said, you know what has happened. He's relating with the household of Cornelius throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how Jesus went around what? Doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. So he was anointed by the Holy Spirit and he went about just doing good, giving from himself what he was. He would go into broken context. He would go into hopeless context. He would go into religious context and shake those up. And he was going about being good. He was going about bringing salvation, healing, deliverance. Wherever he went, virtue went out from him. Life erupted. Life broke out. And after Jesus fasted for 40 days and was tempted, in Luke 4:14, it says, Jesus returned to Galilee, how? In the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through the whole countryside because life was emanating. Life was breaking out. And so he was baptized. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He fasted and he came out in power. And right on the heels of that, as we've been talking about fasting, right on the heels of that, he goes into the synagogue. He asks for the scrolls. They open up to Isaiah and begin to read. Isaiah began to read about how the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that are captive, to heal the bruised. And so he said, this is fulfilled today in your hearing. And he began to identify himself. And all in that chapter, chapter 4 and chapter 5, he goes from there to driving out evil spirits, to healing the multitude, to calling his first disciples, to touching the man with leprosy, to raising the paralytic, etc., etc. The life of God was on Christ, emanating from him. And that same quality of life, this life of God, and again, it's easy just to relegate that, well, he's the Son of God. That same life is ours. That same Spirit of God that was on the Son of God, that same Holy Spirit dwells within us. That same Spirit. So it's just easy to say, well, that was just in that time. That was in the apostolic age. That same presence, that same virtue of heaven is now. Can you say now? It's in 2019. It's not like he did a few tricks and then just kind of went up to heaven and said, well, just hold on until your number's called one day in the sweet by and by. No, it's like it's now. I mean, there's no victory in that. Just hold on till your number's called. Just persevere, you know. Do the best you can, you know. That life is available. That life is now. The download is now. So it's a matter of the access. It's in his Son, 1 John 5:11. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life, it's in his Son. You have the Son, you have that life. You get the Son, you get the benefits. You get the Son, you get the essence. You get the stuff of the courage, the encouragement, the hope, the strength, the future and a hope. It's in him, this quality, this abundance, you see. Quality of life, it's ours. Life, 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 life. I prophesy life to my family. I prophesy life to my future. I prophesy life to my dealings. I declare life to my interactions in the name of Jesus. The antithesis of this would be that which is dead, dormant, lifeless, hopeless. Life, life. In the age to come, certainly, but most importantly, now. This side of heaven. This side. And we know this because John said, this is eternal life. What? To know the only true God, Jesus and his Son, Jesus Christ. This is eternal life. What is eternal life? To know him. To be found in him. This is eternal life. To know God and Jesus Christ. If you know him, you have life. You have life indeed. So, practically, in 2019... we want this life to be transmitted to the very varied areas of our lives going forward. And so this sounds nice. It sounds lofty, maybe even a little bit ethereal. But we live here on earth where it rains on Sunday. So anyway, like practically, what does that mean for me? Where are the points of intersection to where this life can overflow? Well, just a couple of things. Number one, we want this life in our relationships. Secondly, we can believe for this life in our health. Thirdly, we can believe for this in our finances. Fourth, going forward in our family. Fifth, in our witness. Sixth, in our outlook and our vision. Seventh, in our livelihood, our career. Then eighth, in our faith and in our devotion. So we want to declare in the new year, life of God, come forth. And again, for those that were embracing consecration, look for it and declare it. Things that are deemed to be dormant, we speak life to those things and to believe God. The Son is in the equation, and where he is, there is life. So number one, relationships. I've heard a few people mention more than once that in 2019, they want to be more deliberate with their relationships. They want to make just more time for people. I've heard others say, you know, I'll just want to go a little deeper with the people that, you know, I really care about and that really matter in my life. We're all busy, but I want to make quality time for for those that I believe that God has put out of his kindness and out of his love that he's put in my life to do this existence together with. And I just want to believe for that to even bud even more. Y'all know it's a gift that God has given us one another. I was praying for y'all just this week, and I was thanking God just for the warmth and the authenticity and then just the genuine spirit of community and grace and just appreciating the people of God. As we've said before, there's some things we get directly from God, that there are other things we get from the people of God. There's a dynamic we get just from the interchange of the encouragement of the people of God. But also in our health, life, and our health. You know, we're going to take communion at the end of this service. And that's a good time when we're holding that wafer that represents the body of Christ. You know, Isaiah 53 talks about he was bruised for our transgressions and by his stripes we were healed. And when I take the elements, when I'm on the bread portion of the elements, because the cup, I think about cleansing and forgiveness and the purification that comes through his blood. But on the bread, I consider his broken body and that by his stripes we are healed. And before I take that bread, I just say, God, whatever's not right in my body, I just pray for that exchange. You know, your strength and your health for my ailment. And by your wounds, by your stripes, I receive life into my frame. Remember, Isaiah 58 said we'd be a well-watered garden. Remember, it talked about he would strengthen our frame. And I just declare that as I take communion. Also, again, thirdly, life and our finances. That's not to be a negative thing. Oh, I don't want to go there. Oh, I don't want to look at the ledger. No, we invite God into this area so that it's a life-giving thing to consider and something that we're excited about. And may God supply in every way so that we may be generous on every occasion. May finances not be a sore spot, but may our finances be a redeemed blessing. Can we say a redeemed blessing? See, this is where we live. This is the daily grind, you see, and how we live day to day, the things that make up and affect who we are and what we do. And we welcome that introduction of the Lord and his life and the temporal ability to trade, you see. Also in our family, for sure. Believe for areas that have been let go or neglected, trusting for miracles in hard places. I've been believing for someone in my extended family, a certain situation, and there was a real, just an amazing testimony this past week, not in our immediate family, but in our extended family, of just how God aligned and set something up, and we had been praying and talking to God about it, and then just all of a sudden, boom, and I'm just like, yes, God, you're so good. Yes, God. So I just want to encourage you to contend for life in whatever those spots are, those places are, the sticking points or places that need adjustment or breakthrough. God wants to do that. And again, wherever Jesus went, he dispensed life. And so we're saying, I need this in my daily grind, in my practical day-to-day. Again, fifthly, in our witness in 2019, life, so that when we see the unredeemed, that we're sensitized and see the opportunity, maybe dust off our testimony, maybe dust off our courage and our boldness and live a full life of excellence. And as we consider whom am I reaching, whom am I dispensing what I've received. Also six, outlook and vision. Vision. Without a vision, the people perish. What am I living for that's bigger than me? Every marriage needs something bigger than that husband and wife. Every family needs something bigger than that family unit. Every enterprise needs something bigger than that enterprise. Our walk, you know, day to day, there's got to be something bigger than us. It's like Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life. The very first sentence is, it's not about you. And thank God it's not, because just life dries up real quick. But what's bigger than me that I set my eyes on? What is God saying? Where is God calling that's bigger? Jesus said, for the hope before him, he endured. You see, he had a hope, which is us. And because of that, he could press through. He was tempted to quit, but for that vision, to see the nations presented to his Father, it says that with his blood, he purchased men for his God. And he wanted to present for his Father men from every nation, tribe, and tongue. And he goes, oh, I live unto that day. Wow, the marriage supper of the Lamb. He had a vision, you see. And so when we see that, it calls us up. So we want that life to be infused in our outlook and in our vision. Again, I was talking about my own situation on Wednesday when I was tempted to turn the stones into steak and eggs. I thought, Friday cometh. I had a vision. Friday, you're almost here. Seventh in our livelihood, our career, making sure that we invite God in. Have we made him partner in business? We don't do our business and then do our spiritual stuff on Sunday. No. God, you are in the daily grind on Monday morning. You're there. You're with me. You're my partner. Partner with me. Do exceptional things in my livelihood, in my business. You're not joining me. I'm joining you. This is my calling. This is where you've placed me. And I'm looking for you in the ordinary, even in the mundane. Make him our partner. Also in our faith and in our devotion. There's always a freshness in God. Always a freshness in the Lord. In John 10:10, we are promised life. Not eventually. We know the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you might have what? Life. And to have it eventually in the sweet by and by, right? I have come that you might have life. And how? Abundantly. Abundantly. To the full. I have come, Jesus. I have come that you might have life. And see, religion tries to strip life from our existence. Jesus goes, no, I'm here to breathe life. The party's here. I'm the life of the party who gives the life. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full and have abundant life. Contend for it. I give you this, even in the practical, even in these areas. Invite me in. Declare, prophesy the breath, you see. I've come that you might have it, not eventually, but abundantly. He gives abundant life. He gives life to the full. That's what we contend for coming off the fast. That's what we contend for entering 2019. In the same way, when Jesus breathed on his disciples in John 20:22, may he breathe on our relationships. May he breathe on our health. May he breathe on our finances and on our family. May he breathe on our witness. May he breathe on our outlook and our vision. May he breathe on our livelihood, our career, our ministry. May he breathe on our faith and our devotion. Jesus came off his fast, ministered in power, and spread life. We too are coming off our fast and resurrection life, new life, revival life. We're called to live and rejoice. Hear this. Our life is a life of advantage. We're living a life of advantage. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are living a life of advantage. You are living an advantaged life. Someone said, I didn't have the silver spoon when I grew up. No. You are living an advantaged life, an exceptional life. The author of life is here to lift the weak places and to bring and to breathe resurrection, an exceptional, advantaged, life-giving life. God breathes the breath of life on all he touches and every enterprise. You'll remember the prophet Ezekiel as he went to the valley of dry bones, and he saw this valley, and God began to engage in a dialogue with him and posed the question, you know, can these bones live again? And we read it here in Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. And he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? It was almost as if God was reasoning with the prophet, like, in other words, it's in your power whether they live or not. The wherewithal is there, but it's almost like I'm putting it in your hands. You know, Jesus died 2,000 years ago. That life is available. He puts it in our hands. And so he's inquiring here, can these bones live? And I said, I mean, like many of us, Lord, only you know, Lord, you know, Lord, oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. And so then God helped him and worked with him. And then he said to me, prophesy to these dead bones. He's looking out, it's a dry valley. Son of man, can these bones live? They're mighty dry. Son of man, can those finances live? Oh, Lord, I don't even want to go there. Shut the book. Son of man, can you have victory in the workplace? Oh, when does Saturday come? You know, son of man, how about these dynamics in your family? Oh, dear God, God can do anything. I'm not sure about that, you know. Only you know. You're God. You know, and that's kind of, you know, oh, mighty man of faith, you know. So God didn't leave it there. He, just like us, he allowed him to have a part of the equation. Can they live? Only you know. And then God's helping him. He's a prophet. Prophesy to these bones. Can you say prophesy to these bones? Prophesy to these bones. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bone. You're not denying the reality. You know, when you look at a mess, you don't deny it's not there. That's a mess. All right. But in light of that mess, get fixed somehow. So dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to what? Now, he could have looked at that valley of dry bones and said, dear me, those are dry bones. Have a good day. And as we go through these eight things, these little eight parts of our life, we can look at that and go, dear me, dry bones. Well, you know, let's go out and do something else, you know, and then turn away. You know, Jesus wasn't intimidated by death and affliction. He was like a war horse. A war horse will smell battle, and you know what it'll do? It'll go right in it. People go, leper, leper. Jesus is like, where's the leper? And put his hand right on the leper. I mean, who in their right mind would put their hand on gangrene? But Jesus sees it, and he's not intimidated by it and going, ugh, leper, unclean, unclean. He goes right into the unclean and makes it clean. In the Old Testament, you touch something unclean, you go outside the camp and have ceremonial washing for several days. In the New Testament, when we lay hands on the sick, there's a transference of life to death, not death to life. It's not like, well, they're contaminated, it might get on me. No, the very Spirit of God's on the inside of you. Spirit, matter of fact, touch your neighbor, lay your hand on them right now. All right, you've now officially been inducted in the school of the laying on of hands. Very good. It says in Mark 16, you'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But some may get on me. No, something will be transmitted to you. There's even healing in just the physical touch, even without the Spirit of God. There's healing. And so he would see these contexts and like a war horse go right into it. He wasn't intimidated. He was the fireman that went into the burning building when everyone's running out, you see. What was he doing in there? Why would you go into a fire? I'm going to bring life. I'm going to help some people. I didn't come for the well, but for the sick. I'm going to help some people, you see. And so God is working with this prophet here to not just see what he sees, but then to declare the power and the dynamic and the Zoe abundance into the situation and says, okay, I only know, but you speak, you prophesy to that situation. Prophesy to those bones. Hear the word of the Lord. The sovereign Lord says, I make breath enter you and you will come to life. Then we go on to the next verse. Then he said to me, now this is an interesting phrase. Prophesy to the breath. I love that. Prophesy the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may, what? Live. He wants them to live because he's the giver of life. So here he's saying, prophesy the breath. Prophesy the wind of God, the breath of God, the favor of God, the abundance of God. Prophesy the abundant life. Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Prophesy the breath into relationships. Prophesy the breath into health. Prophesy the breath into finances. Prophesy the breath into family. Prophesy the breath into outlook, into vision, into all these other areas. Prophesy the breath, life of God. Come. If you have the Son, you have life. For this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. Now, eternal life, yes, it's the sweet by and by, but it's a quality of eternal life is we're going to live for eternity, yes, but it's a quality of life now. The uncreated God dwells within. And as he worked with this prophet, he works with us to prophesy the breath on the practical areas in 2019. Coming off the fast in power, we prophesy the breath in the daily grind. I love this class we'll be doing starting in 2 weeks because it's truth for life, connecting doctrine to the daily grind. Making doctrine practical where we live. There's an objective truth that we acknowledge intellectually, and then we implement it subjectively, experientially, so that it's real. It's not a theoretical thing, but it's actual. It's actual. It's today. It's for now. There is an eventual life, and we've got for all of eternity to be there. But while we're here, 80, 90, 100 years. Some of y'all may go to 120, 150. Methuselah, maybe we got one or two in here. While we're here, we're not to be holding on. He's working with us to prophesy the breath. To prophesy the breath. To call on the winds of heaven. And the practical things. Let's just do this. Lord, we just pray right now. Let's just stand up. Father, we just declare right now, life. Life. Life to these different areas. Life. Just in your mind, picture sticking points. Picture your weekly routine of what you do, getting up, making breakfast, if you have a family, getting kids out the door, going to work, and just declare that which is where there's no lure, that which is static. Just begin in your heart to just speak life to that right now. Just speak that wow factor. Just speak that fascination over it. Just speak it. Like I prophesy the breath going into the new year. I'm setting my rudder so that I'm not like, dear Lord, I'm just the same old Groundhog Day. No, no. We set our rudder. Speak life. 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 Hope. Courage, strength, anointing, favor, abundance. In any situation with sticking points, just where you are, just in your heart, prophesy the breath. Prophesy the breath. Come toward that. Move toward that. Move toward that. move toward that. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Father, we just receive the full measure of your grace. Lord, we declare as an act of our will to declare the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Lord, not in some ethereal realm, some mystical realm, but where we live day to day in the daily grind, life and grace and breakthrough, healing and encouragement. Lord, for any sick bodies today, I declare wholeness and healing. Lord, strange relationally, wholeness and adjustment. Lord, issues of finances. Lord, I just thank you. Making wrong things right. Family things. Lord, on every level, in our enterprise, our livelihood, our vision, our focus, our faith, our devotion. We receive you, O author of life. We receive you. We receive you in your activity. We receive you, God. We receive it. Hallelujah. Amen. It's just a wise way to start the new year, to give God our declaration. He's the high priest of our profession. So it's just a good thing to do this. Can we give the Lord a praise here right now?